Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one, two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Welcome to the sad, sad Mike and Judy Show. Sad because Mike Edison is off in Italy touring wineries, looking at art, going to the opera at La Scala, and I've had to resort to dragging my boyfriend Spiro Panisopoulos into co-host. Welcome, Spiro.
Oh, how do I follow that? I mean, thanks.
You are taller than Mike.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And you put it to me, unlike Mike.
There we go.
But today we're going to talk about, we're on a topic that you and Mike know a lot about. That is how the hell to behave at a bar. And to discuss and to educate our listeners, we have three amazing bartenders with us. We have Katie Estopowitz, who's an actress and also a bartender at Exchange Alley. Dan Ruth, who is a manager, bartender at the Brooklyn Ale House. He's also, you can also find him on YouTube under his alias Fabian LaRue.
Thanks, Judy.
And we have Joey Vargas, who has been described to me as a cocktail geek, who works at the Beagle and Gin Palace on Avenue A. Welcome, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming. I think the first thing that we should really discuss is tipping, because it seems like our bartender at Roberta's, John, told me that we needed to discuss Australians first, because they apparently do not have guidebooks in Australia and do not know how to tip. Do you guys find this to be
true?
They're
in good company.
I think they know what to tip.
I was going
to
say,
I believe that's all
if you're
fake.
Traveling the world, you know exactly what to tip. You just say, oh, I'm Australian. You don't tip in Australia. Well, you're fucking in America now, so cough up.
Yeah, it's 2013. You know better than that.
Yeah.
You tip.
Don't play dumb. I go traveling all across the world, and I know exactly how much I'm supposed to tip, and they get freaked out when I do it.
What's this? It used to be I'm a bit older than most of this crowd. You used to tip a buck a drink. Has it come up since then?
I think a dollar a drink is fair.
It's pretty standard.
I mean, a dollar a drink is a fair game. I think that's a great tip. If I'm doing a little harder work, $2 is great.
Yeah, you got to look around you. Is it four deep at the bar and the bartender shot you like five margaritas in 6 minutes? Then that person needs like a $10 tip.
Yeah.
But if she cracked, you know, 6 PBRs, feel free to give her $3.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the whole $2 on 5 drinks, that's when we get, like, beef, you know? It's like, that's, you owe me $5, sir.
But weirdly, too, you get the morons with that actually don't know what a buyback is, and so when you actually offer them one, and you're like, okay, I just gave you 5 drinks, so then that's $25. I bought you 3, okay?
I bought
them. $15 off your tab. So here, you know, and they just, oh, here's $1, or here's 50 cents, yeah. Or go buy some gum, and, the, and it's always.
I love the classic Williamsburg, thanks, man, I really appreciate that.
We had the best time. Everything was so great.
God curse the verbal tip.
Yeah, say that to your landlord. I love this apartment. It's such a great apartment. Thank you so much.
Honestly, as far as bartending and tipping, I mean, I think really a lot of it has to do with what change you give your customer. Because a lot of bartenders, I've been in places, you buy a $5 drink, they're going to give you back a 10 and a 5. It's like, guess what, idiots. Sweetie?
Well,
you're not
going to
get the $5 bill.
You give 10 singles
you're not
gonna
get
and
the
a
Ginsu,
5.
No.
Exactly. Give them the option.
All right, well, since we're talking about buybacks, what is the usual buyback scenario?
A buyback is a bartender's discretion.
Yes.
It's up to the bartender. If you're a really cool customer, they may give you one. It's just the kiss of death to ask,
oh, you ask
for a
you're
buyback.
Dead. You're dead to me.
Aren't you going
to
buy me one?
Not now.
Yeah, stop drooling and no, we're not. But, you know.
Sometimes buybacks go how much you tip. Like you get around and
oh,
you
yeah.
tip $4 or $5. You know what? Maybe your next one's going to be on me straight up. I don't
yeah.
care. Like that was nice. You brought the thunder with the tip. I appreciate you. Thank you for like being cool. Here you go. Here's a shot of like, you know, Jameson. No big
or, like,
deal.
When you and everybody knows exactly what they're going to order, and they give me the whole order at once, and they're patient.
Love them.
I'm so happy to buy them around.
You know, it's a great way to get a buyback: bringing your glassware back to the bar.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You bust your table with your group of 15 friends. You get a drink from me every time, guaranteed.
I have friends who I'll do that, and they'll be like, "Why are you picking up our glasses?"
I'm like, just watch, just watch.
Watch this.
Even,
watch
even
this.
Even when we're leaving, and I'm not going to get anything back, I just feel like the bartender is. Is pretty overworked and has to deal with the annoying public. Like, why? What skin off my ass is it to carry an empty glass to the bar?
I mean, you go to IKEA and you get your food, you bring your tray and you bust it yourself. you can bust it at a bar. It's not a big deal, guys.
Like, yeah, I mean, when you go to your local bodega now and they have the little tip cup up with a thanks and a little smiley face, that's one thing. But, you know, when you're in a bar and it's really cool every now and then to get tipped for asking to use the bathroom,
yes.
getting tipped for a water.
Yeah.
Those are great things, and you know, those are just, they make you just
you
much more
cool. You tip
for
a glass of water, oh, yeah. you get so much you water.
What about
you
the other side of that, though?
Yes.
I mean, is there such a thing as over-tipping? I mean, is it like, you know, being a...
I kind of feel like the only people who over-tip are my bartender friends. They'll come in, and they'll be like, here's okay. $60 for the 3 drinks you gave us. Thanks, man. And I'm like...
But you know what doesn't work is tipping at the end when you have cash on the bar. Because people end up drinking their money that's sitting on the bar. It's been there, you know, for 25 minutes, and you watch it dwindling and going down and less and less and less. And then, you know, they leave you with $1 after being there for 2 yeah. hours.
Well, they don't keep track of their own bill. Like, they're just like, I'm throwing $100
yeah.
on. Just take it as you please. And then they end up spending $80 and give you a 5. And we're like, thanks, man.
That never works out. The pile on the bar.
Have you ever been offended by... This is something Spiro and I have argued about. This is why I'm asking. Have you ever been offended by being over-tipped?
No.
Wait.
See?
One of my first jobs as a young woman, I bartended at a strip club, and it got weird. Because people would leave, like, way too much money, and I got
That's
really
different.
Awkward about it. No, but that taught me. Like, and I learned a lot from the, shall we say, seasoned young performers at the strip club. And they were like, no, girl, he wanted to give you that money. You take that money.
If they're willing
that
to give it, I'll
me.
Take it.
Yeah, exactly. And now here I am, like, Oh, this guy, he was high out of his mind, and he got, like, 2 beers and gave me a $50 bill on my way back from the bathroom, and I was like, hey, thanks. That was it. I was like, that seems like a lot of money for 2 beers, but I'm taking it.
When I first moved to New York in 93, I worked in a bar in Hell's Kitchen, and I had a regular customer would come in, because they all go to Port Authority right afterward, and he would do one of those eye locks with me. He'd be like, here's $20. Put it in your pocket.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, why? And he's like, it's $20. Put it in your pocket. I'm like, yeah, I gotta charge you for your drinks. He's like, I don't care. Put it in your damn pocket. I'm like, okay. So, you know, there's lots of ways that old school people try to induct you, and, you know, that's, I don't know, that was just a very strange thing. He also peed in a tube on the way back on the bus, you know, because you know, there's no bathrooms on the bus, too. So.
Favorite kind of guest right there.
Mm-hmm.
What is
good times.
Now, like, bartenders, I've always said they're like the rock stars of the service industry. Everybody wants to get with you. Like, everyone thinks you're cute. And, like, What is the best way to pick up a bartender? Huh. Besides being like incredibly hot.
Besides like walking in and being gorgeous.
Well, tipping well is a good start. We could always go back to tipping, but also
that gets awkward. They're like,
I think you just got to be like witty and charming and funny. I don't like when people ask me my name because I'm afraid they're gonna like give me a bad Yelp review when they're like, "What's your name?" You know, I'm like,
"Oh, I'm Kitty. What's your name?" And then they're like, "Wait, what?"
I always like blame it on my friends. I'm like, "Oh, my name is Brett." You know.
In 12 years of bartending, I took one young man home who ended up being my boyfriend for a while, and it was because he was, you know, quiet and patient, and like, he was attractive. He wasn't the best looking guy in the room, but he was very sweet, and he listened to what, like, when I had a hot second, I went over and chit-chatted with him, he listened to what I said, he was like, present, and he wasn't smarmy. Yeah. He wasn't like, "Oh, hey, so I see you're behind the bar." Like,
I think that's a big thing too. People don't realize is bartenders are pretty lame. Like we watch Game of Thrones, play fantasy baseball, or like we're just regular people. we're like totally regular people. Like just talk to us like a human being and not like a. Like
don't
a slave
lay it on.
Behind the bar or anything, or don't be all like, "Hey, man, what's going on?"
But to switch that out, it's kind of cool to actually, you know, be the bartender and find someone that you find attractive, and inadvertently you're gonna they're gonna know what your T-shirt means. Uh-huh. They're gonna get the any kind of wry humor that's going on there, and you're gonna be drawn to them the whole night. You could bet 15 people there, but you keep getting sucked back to the same person. Yeah. So anyway, about that, you'd be in the conversation with them, and I think it's anyone that I've ever found really really attractive while I'm bartending. Of the male persuasion, I don't really care. We just have a lot of fun, and I just keep going back, and we keep talking, and that's a bartender no-no to talk while you're working. But
it's actually kind of just like regular flirting.
Yeah,
like we just flirt with regular people.
Well, it's a challenge, though. I mean, you've met somebody. Now, what about dating? I mean, you guys have like True Blood hours. Yeah. I mean, like how do you date normal people?
It's really hard, at least for me today, because I don't drink anymore, and I'm a gay man in New York who doesn't drink anymore.
Those exist.
I know. And I don't do cocaine, and I don't. You know.
Well, you're doing poppers or something, right? Let's be honest.
Those are at home. Shut up, man.
Oh, my God. Heart just started beating behind us. It's like the telltale heart behind us.
Seriously. I think dating is possible. It takes a little effort. You actually have to put some work in, but it's possible.
Like, I've had a hard time. Like, I tried to branch out into, like, I don't know, businessmen or like daytime,
really?
I guess. But it never works out. Yeah, honestly, branch out.
Yeah, the only
people I can date. You go for the 6'4", sexy, greasy, unemployed hipster, that only takes you so far. And then, he doesn't want a relationship.
I feel like there's definitely a type for a bartender. Like, people I could date are like waitresses, bartenders, hairdressers. Like, hairdressers are great. It's very similar to bartending. Pretending we care about your day and like listening to your stories and playing therapist while like making you have a good time.
But it also helps I work at the Brooklyn Ale House, and we're dog friendly. Bring your dog, because people love your dog.
I was gonna say,
and
I'm dogs to see are you.
My dog
please
loves bars.
Do. I mean, people love bringing the dogs, and they're always the center of attention. And that's a great way to meet somebody. I've always found people gravitate towards your pub.
What are some of the what is some of the gross, like the most bad behavior you guys have ever seen at bars? Working.
Oh, this just happened yesterday. This girl came in and she was like, "Can I have a cup? I don't want to sit at my bar looking like I'm drinking outside drink." And she had brought like a bottle of coconut water or something. And I was like, I didn't say, of course, the bartender, "Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Here you go, sweetheart. Here's a glass of water as well." But I'm thinking like, why don't you put your outside drink in a cup and drink at my bar?
I definitely hate that, coffee shop, aspect where people feel like they could sit for, 6 hours on one beer and, play Scrabble and shit like that. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I'm busy. I'm trying to do this.
Yeah,
this
if it's
my
busy,
job,
you gotta move.
What are you doing? You played Scrabble on a table with three of your girlfriends who had one drink each?
It's real estate, man. You gotta pay for your real estate.
I think the grossest behavior is definitely men smarming over women. It's really hard to watch.
Yeah, you gotta
wait, it's
them.
Oh man! I can't
up for them, and you can easily pick them up too. That guy is
a surefire way to get kicked out of a bar. Is to continually being just ogling over women who obviously do not want to speak to you, and then people who guys especially who go from table to table table, and you're like, and keep walking towards the door and a little bit more, and kick them out.
There's definitely that deer in headlights look too. You could look at a girl and she'd be like, "Help me, bartender!
Oh,
this man
there.
Is coming over
I've
here."
Been there.
So what do you do?
I kick them out.
Oh, okay.
I don't tolerate that kind of behavior, especially if you're bothering multiple customers. You know, you're probably the person who, the other points I wanted to make out, who do the horrible three. What's cheap? What do you like, and what's good? Oh, they probably ask all three of those questions.
What do you like gives me chills every time I hear it. I'm like, what do I recommend? I don't know. Leave me alone. Like, what do you like?
I like licking the sweat off of a pygmy. I don't know. I don't know what you like.
But then you tell them what you like, and they're like, oh.
No, they wasted my time, and time is the most important thing behind the bar. I have very limited time to give to every customer, and if you're going to waste it, it's like, man, you're robbing my bank account.
Like, but shouldn't you, like, come, because these questions are so common, shouldn't you come up with like an answer like, oh, what's good sex on the beach? It's really good.
No, there's always one thing you like that's sacrificial right away. What's good performer? Like, you just say it right away. Yeah, like, you don't even think, you know.
But
that's
no, as a cocktail nerd, like, I've developed our cocktail list at Exchange Alley, and we list all of our ingredients in the menu. You can see everything. And my favorite's like, oh, what does that taste like? And I'm like, I look at it, and I'm like, well, it tastes like
ginger,
like passion
and pear, and lemon, and then, a split between tequila and...
they say, well, is it good? And I say, well, I think it's good. I think it's great. People are ordering
like
it and drinking. Yeah. Exactly. No, it tastes like ball sweat. You should totally order it.
The great one
it.
Is always, well, it's very popular.
That's what I'm saying! I'm like, well, people are drinking
it's
it.
It's one
why
of our more popular drinks.
And the best part, at the Ale House, we have 15 drafts on or 14 or something like that. They're clearly displayed in front of you, and everyone will always come right in front of them and ask what's on draft. And I always look at them right in their eye and I say, a lot.
At least you guys have beer. That. I work in a lot of cocktail bars where we actually don't have draft. It's all bottled beer.
But do they still ask you for what's on tap?
They'll be like, what's your draft lines? And we'll be like, I have nothing on draft, but I have this nice bottle selection. Amstel Light? No Amstel Light.
PBR in a can, man.
Or then you get, what's cheap?
What's cheap?
You are. That's what's cheap.
And it's always, again, it's always the guy. Like a douchebag guy will come in with like two really nice women, and the women will probably be talking, and he'll be the first person to inadvertently always say, what's cheap? And the two women will look at each other, and it's like, okay, and
I always wonder that. I'm like, douchebag. Like, women, like, how do you hang out with these people? Like, these are the people you take home. These are the people you sleep with, you introduce to your mother. He's, like, mistreating this poor bartender.
I mean, every girlfriend I know, like, bad tipper is like, they can be ugly, hunchbacked, have no teeth, but if they're a bad tipper, they are never getting laid.
True.
But we're going to take a break for a second. We're going to hear from Spiro's band, because it's all about...
We're going to hear Rehab.
Yes,
as heard by Girl to Gorilla.
I don't go to rehab. I want to be a better man. I've got to change the way I think, but I want another drink, and I don't want to understand why I should be in rehab. Because my life is just a lie. With all the alcohol and coke and all the cigarettes I smoke, I mean, even Jesus had to die. But step by step, I'm gonna make it through. When I get up, the first round's on you. Oh, hell, I guess it's back to rehab again. I got out of rehab, thought that I'd get by. I go to AA every week. When it was my time to speak, I was thinking about getting high. I got out of rehab, but I didn't get too far. I thought I'd be just fine with a sip of dinner wine. Now I'm snorting shivers at the bar, yeah. Step by step, you wait and see. And if I don't, your next one's on me. Oh, hell, I guess it's back to rehab again. In and out of rehab, try to do what they say. And I remember getting the shakes, the terrible stomach aches. But right now I confess I'm feeling okay. Cause now I'm out of rehab, but I'm sure I'm gonna be there soon. Cause when I'm done with all these jokes, I'm gonna smoke a couple toes.
That was Girl to Gorilla doing rehab, which leads us into our next topic. Okay, so a lot of people are in recovery these days, and I've had friends in recovery say they get side eye from some bartenders when they come in and order like a seltzer or whatever. How can a non-drinker negotiate a bar successfully? Because you still want to go hang out with your friends a lot of times.
I have absolutely no problem with someone that doesn't drink. Just follow the same rules. You still tip on the drink, you're polite, you're patient. you know, I mean, personally, I've got like two or three go-to virgin cocktails. I'm like, oh yeah, try this. It's great. I have no problem.
Mm-hmm. I definitely also, like, I think people get upset when you charge them for soda water sometimes, which kind of like gets me weirded out. It's like, well, you're here. You're taking up space. I'm cracking this bottle. Like, it costs $2. I'm sorry. Like, it's not my fault.
But, or like, I'm driving, so discount?
I actually went to a bar in the north side, and I ordered a club soda, and the bartender asked me, are you a designated driver? I said, no. He's like, oh, are you a friend of Bill? I'm like, yes, actually, I am. No, he said that's on the house. He's like, people who are designated drivers, he doesn't charge them for soda.
Really cool. That's really cool.
And that's really, really nice. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we get the tip. You know, involved there. And, that's just cool. A very nice thing to do.
I mean, I understand people not drinking. I've had my stints where I've raged for 3 or 4 months, and you take a month and a half off, so I'm not hating on people who aren't drinking.
No, I don't.
Please come out, have a good time, just respect us, respect the bar, don't sit there for 7 hours.
Does being around drunk people all the time make you have any effect on your own drinking? I mean,
it could either make me not drink on the shift or drink twice as much on the shift, depending on the situation and depending on the drunk people. If they're like sloppy and annoying, then I'm like, I gotta like babysit. I'm gonna stay sober. If they're my drunk bartender friends, then we're doing shots of Laird's all night and getting kind of weird.
The Fernet comes
out.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was accused for a long time of writing down people's stories. You're talking about me, aren't you? You're writing all this shit down. And actually, I'm really not, but I mean, it stays in my brain. But the honest truth is that, you know, I mean, it's what they say. You're really, the people's behavior really isn't that much different whenever you're not drinking and they are.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as everyone's having a good time, you know, obviously if someone walks up to you and they can't stand up or they're peeing their pants, you're not going to serve them and all that other happy horse shit. But really, everyone's having a good time. That's all that really matters. And if you're sober or drinking, it doesn't make that much of a difference for me.
I mean, that's why we're coming to a bar. Well, like, get drunk, have a good time. But
I think, if anything, it's just a small shadow of the devil on your shoulder of just what not to do.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody gets, like, black, you know, not blackout drunk, but, you know, crazy, slurring, hitting on people that don't want to hear it. They think they're the funniest thing in the room. And you're just like, oh, right. Don't do that. Like, stop. You want that other shot? Don't do that. Just take a pause.
Yeah. Well, since we're on aberrant behavior again, which is my favorite topic, a friend of ours bar, which will go nameless at this point, they actually had a situation where someone pooped in their photo booth.
So
what is the grossest thing? You know, it could be physical, it could be, you know, psychological, whatever, but the grossest thing you've ever seen or had to deal with?
I've definitely seen someone pee in a cup and throw it on the floor. And then, like, someone called him out. He's like, he's peeing! He's peeing! And
it's
I was like...
episode of Oz.
And I, like, panicked. I was like, I don't know what to do about that. He's got his dick out, and he's peeing. Like, I don't want to get close, but I want to yell. Like,
yo, man, put your dick away!
Yeah. Like...
The bathroom
I'd be like,
not...
hi!
No.
Oh. I had to break up I think everyone can probably agree it was a girl fight, and they're the worst.
Oh, God.
And, they're vicious.
It was a bloodbath. It was an absolute, between the two of them, it was an absolute bloodbath, and it took about 25 minutes. It would stop and start and stop and start. Hair pull, nails here, blood splash.
Oh,
and you know, you're dealing with other people's blood. I think that's probably the worst for me, especially that one night where it's all over you and there's nothing you could do. I actually handed the customer a wet towel to help her, you know, get, you know, she kicked me. Get away from me! Yeah! And I'm like, okay, fuck you, bitch.
Sorry.
How you like that?
Sorry about your wounds.
I had a girl fight once where they both broke out mace and started macing each other. The whole bar is like, my God, I'm dying. These girls are macing. And I'm like, I know! Like,
mace patrol.
Okay, so let's just talk about good behavior now. Like, what can a bar, besides tipping and, you know, what about, like, what can a bar patron do to make you hate them immediately? Like, is it snapping their fingers?
Oh,
for
God.
You
never, ever do that.
Oh, if you snap, I run up with my hands up, like, paws, and I pant, and I'm like, oh, what did you want? Can I get you a drink? What do you want?
The whole
and they get
waving
confused.
Too.
I'm like, don't
I
snap
hate that.
At me.
Ooh, ooh, ooh,
and to
ooh.
Add to that, the people who are snapping and the people who are doing the hey you kind of garbage, you go up to them and they will always turn around to their friend going, what do you want?
What do you want?
They don't even know what they want.
Yeah, they have no idea.
We must speak to you now.
I'll have guys, what do you want?
What do you want, baby? What do you want, anybody? Yeah. What do you? And they don't know. And it's like, don't call a bartender ever when you don't know.
If you're gonna snap, you better list off 6 drinks that are very easy, very quick, and similar. tip $20.
For the love of Christ, have your money ready and your order ready when you wave me over.
I worked at a nightclub called Metronome on 21st and Broadway back in the early 90s, and I was dressed in drag, and they gave me a whole mezzanine area, and it was me in a wig and a skirt and a walkie-talkie, and I would yell at people. I'd be like, know what you want to drink and have your money ready. Know what you want to drink and have your money ready. And I'd get to you, and you even paused, and I'd be the next person.
The second I hear it on my walk away, I walk away to someone, I'm like, you look like you're ready, sir.
You've got a 20 in your hand. Totally.
So
word
when do
on
you cut
list?
Somebody off? When is it like, you know, like, and plus, I mean, so I know part of it is bar policy. You know, the bar actually has a policy. But like, you know, what are the things that say, okay, I'm going to cut this person off before they become a problem?
For me, it's always, can you get home safe? Like, I don't want anyone going out and falling on a subway track or getting hit by a car trying to wave a taxi. Or, you know, it's like, can you get home safe? If you can get home safe, I'll give you your nightcap, your last drink. But, like, you got to make sure, like, he's coherent, he's speaking. He's like, yeah, I'm going home after this. It'll be my last drink of the night. Like, then you're like, you could have a drink. But when someone's like, hey, Fernet, let's do this. You're like, all right, sit down, drink this water. I'll see you in 8 minutes.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with aggression and whether people are alone or not. Because if they're alone and they're really drunk, it's really harder to get them out the door.
Right.
Yeah. And harder to get them to realize that they need to go.
If you can recruit a friend to
help
you,
if they have friends with them.
Process,
yeah, because you can always talk to the friends, right?
Yeah, you look
always,
at the friend, like, is your friend's really okay? Drunk. Yeah, is that right? Is he going to make it home safe? I don't, you know.
But aggression is I think, the number one. If you get aggressive with the bartender, you're sure is kicked out.
It's different, actually, depending on the bartender. I think it's just, we've got a straight male bartender and a gay male bartender and a female bartender. The methods are very different. Like, my method, like, I get a little mommy on their ass. I'm like, oh, honey, like, just drink this glass of water. You're going to love me tomorrow. You're going to feel so much better. Just drink this glass of water. And they're like, okay.
You got it. You're
yeah,
so nice
like,
to me.
It's
I
different.
Love her.
Or they get aggressive, and then I got to find
got
a giant dude.
Yeah,
and I'm like, someone help me.
God bless the doorman. Like, get me my giant man to handle this. Like,
yeah.
Like, I will talk shit and be like, dude, I will fuck you up.
Fuck you
Where's
up,
the door
guy?
Where's the door guy?
I did have to walk between two people once and say, guys, I'm here by myself tonight. Cut me a fucking break. And it worked. It worked.
I can't do this, please.
But this one woman once, she came in a couple nights ago, weeks ago, excuse me, and she walks right up to me. She's like, your bartender called my girlfriend a cunt. And I was like, I'm sorry, I wasn't there. Yeah, exactly. And so she started off on this, and then all of her gaggle of female friends started yelling at us about this stuff. And I was just like, look, you don't understand the one rule of at least the Brooklyn House. We let you get really drunk here. You've been drinking for 3 hours and you're loaded.
We let you.
Yeah.
Wait,
and
she said to me,
because you said earlier, she said to me, we're going to write a bad Yelp review. I'm going to write a bad Yelp review. As she's walking out the door with her bottle of Budweiser, I'm like, give me that fucking bottle, get the fuck out, and go write
you
your bad Yelp review.
Death to Yelp. Death to it
like
every day.
So Yelp really has changed the game.
Oh, it's changed the game. You got your bar manager being like, I hear people got really drunk last night. I read a couple Yelp reviews that maybe weren't as cordial as you should.
What do these people do? Did they go to Ruby's at Coney Island going, you know what, can you make it a little nicer in here?
Yeah.
It's a little bit, it stinks a bit in here. And your bartenders are a little rude. Can they be a little nicer? And my number one, and Fabian LaRue talks about it, I hate it. People who tell you need to smile. You
just women always get that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
women,
smile, baby. Yeah. Smile. Come on, smile for me.
Oh. It's like, I'd rather
you
fillet
like
you.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Smiling.
Oh man. Well, okay. So let me see. I have a list of questions. What are the best and worst nights to go to a bar? Like, I'm old. I rarely go to a bar. If I do, it's usually before, like, 8 p.m. What are the best nights for...
If you want to hang out and have a good time and, like, enjoy the bar setting, I think Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are great nights to go to a bar. You could actually talk to the bartender. He'll actually recommend things. He'll have a good time with you. If you're looking to get laid, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like, you know. But don't get angry at the bartender when he's not talking. Or you're like, come on, man, what's good? Like, then I'm busy as shit. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah, I should add, like, we were saying, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But this all applies when it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we're six deep. We don't have the time.
Right, yeah.
But if you go on Sunday and ask me what I want to drink, like, I'll totally
nice
talk
man.
To you about all of the cocktails.
Yeah.
And try this and sample this. It just, you have to look at your environment.
Yeah, no, totally.
It's the same thing to find out where you want to go. Like, if you want to go to, like, a jumping place, just look in, you know? If everyone seems to be quiet and the music is quiet and you think you could hear yourself think, that's the kind of bar you want to go to.
Yeah.
But if you want, you know, Rick
and that's
Rock
a
place.
That's a major rule nowadays. It's like, know the bar that you're going to. Right. Yes. Know the place. If it's a place with a pool table and a dartboard, don't expect to get a gin Ricky.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't expect to get, you know, a frozen margarita or frozen pina colada. Because, you know, like we said on the way over here, you ask a bartender who doesn't have a blender for a pina colada, even if we had the blender, there'd be a fork in that blender quicker than you can take a stick out because those can ruin the blender.
And it also, you know, going, it also ties back in, if you're trying to pick up a bartender, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is a good night to meet a bartender. Well, not only the bartender behind the bar, but chances are there's a lot of bartenders in the bar drinking,
if they're
hanging
drinking
out.
For net,
and they'll buy you a bunch of drinks and be like, hey, what are you doing?
Oh, well, thank you guys so much for coming in. Let me tell people where we can find you. Kitty, you're at Exchange Alley what nights?
I am at Exchange Alley Tuesday through Friday, and then there's a lovely young woman, Helen, who's there on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Take care of your chit-chat
easy
needs.
Helen. Dan, what about you?
I'm on Friday nights at the Brooklyn Ale House, and I also manage, so you can probably see me every now and then running around looking panicky and, you know, stuff like that. So
or look on YouTube for Fabian LaRue.
I'm looking forward to looking that up.
That's sounds good. Joey, where can we find you? What
I'm
nights?
On the Beagle at Thursday and Saturday, and Gin Palace on Friday nights.
All right. Thank you guys so much. It's been, you know, week one without Mike Edison. Thank you, my adorable co-host, Spiro Panisopoulos.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.